Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Revell, and this is ValueSide for Monday, June 12th. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. Well, today, this week, will likely set a new course for the dollar. There are massive tectonic shifts occurring in the world of international finance. Multiple forces have converged to create this once-in-a-generation climax, a climax that's bound to affect you and I. Now, the opening act of this great financial drama will take place on this Wednesday. Then, the Federal Reserve will once again set short-term interest rates. And it's been quite a year for the Fed. In the past 15 months, the Fed has taken our basic interest rate from essential zero to now 5.25%. Wall Street is convinced that the Fed is now finished with their interest rate hikes, but I'm not so sure. You see, Wall Street has accepted the Fed's claim that they are hiking rates to curb inflation, and certainly that is a contributing factor to the Fed's actions, but it's far from the only reason the Fed has been providing higher interest rates. Like a series of dominoes, this move to hike rates has many varied and diverse repercussions. While it's true that raising rates does help curb inflation by increasing the cost of borrowing and slowing the economy, and the Fed is more than justified in discussing the impact these higher rates have on inflation. But that's far from the whole story. Inflation is the domestic story, and its impact is felt by us. But on the other side of this coin is the international story, a story that will take months, perhaps years, to play out before it impacts the average citizen. But make no mistake, the long-run prosperity of our country rests with the international dimension of the Fed's actions, along with the actions of the new international communities. For international financiers, a key component of their utilizing a currency is the current rate of return, the interest rate. If they can receive from holding reserves in one currency as opposed to another, they'll take that. And currently, the actions of the Federal Reserve have brought the U.S. dollar returns far ahead of any other major currency. Thinking of holding reserves in British pounds? Well, you could improve your yield by 0.75% moving to U.S. dollars. While 0.75% may not seem like a lot to you and me, the difference for $1 billion is $625,000 per month in extra interest, enough to get the average investment broker a lunch, or perhaps even two. Now, the U.S. dollar, with its current high Fed interest rates, has a 150-point basis point advantage over the euro, 160 basis point advantage over the Chinese yuan, and an almost unbelievable 375 basis point advantage over the old favorite, the Swiss franc. This is no accident. It's all part of a strategy called defending your country's currency. It was, and still is, a primary responsibility of the central bank in any developed nation. With a currency that is worth more, you can purchase cheaper foreign goods and sell your country's exports for a higher net return. While defending the currency is an integral part of every country's monetary policy, no one wants to talk about it for fear of setting off a currency war. Where two nations start to raise their interest rates to strengthen their own currency, but at the same time slowing their economy, it becomes a lose-lose after a certain point. So we're left with this question. If dollar defense is the other half of the Fed's current monetary policy, inflation being that first part, then why does the Fed feel compelled to defend the dollar now? What is it that brings us to this second part of our climactic week? And it's that that brings us to the second part of this climactic week. On Wednesday, the same day that the Fed will make its interest rate decision, halfway around the world in St. Petersburg, Russia, many of the nations on the other side of the growing East-West line will also be meeting. The event is the St. Petersburg International Economic Conference, and most prominent in attendance will be the leaders of the so-called BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and Kazakhstan. We can add Saudi Arabia as the letter S to the acronym, although they have only recently looked to join BRICS. There can be little doubt that Modi of India, Xi of China, Putin of Russia are the driving forces behind this relatively new organization. Now, the scope and reach of BRICS and this relatively new St. Petersburg conference is absolutely stunning. The leaders here assembled represent a majority of the planet's population and include a dominant position in traditional sources of energy. 9 of the world's top 10 oil-producing countries will be in attendance this week. Only the United States, of the world's top oil producers, will be absent. Now, I suspect that the conference's most popular and certainly most impactful session will be on Thursday morning, when the attendees will address, quote, and I quote, de-dollarization, the future of money. That's the quote of this session. And to quote the agenda for the meeting, quote, in a multipolar world economy, the flaws of the dollar-centric financial system established in the later half of the 20th century are becoming increasingly apparent. The freezing of Russian reserves has transformed reserve currencies into geopolitical weapons, casting a shadow over the stability of settlements with trading partners in U.S. dollars, susceptible to Washington's ability to impede transactions deemed suspicious. Consequently, global trust in the U.S. currency wanes, prompting a surge in de-dollarization. Unquote. That is a direct quote out of the agenda for this conference. And this is but a glimpse into the contempt that the other half of the globe holds this current American administration and their free use of sanctions, as well as impounding reserves and deposits of other nations, principally Russia. Rumors have it that at this conference, the members will propose a gold-backed alternative to the U.S. dollar. This, of course, would be devastating to the dollar. Now, I've included for your review an interesting chart which shows the course of interest rates in the dollar. We would expect the dollar to appreciate as interest rates rose, and that's just what happened until September. The dollar peaked last September, which was the six-month anniversary of President Biden's multifaceted strategy of first sanctioning Russia oil and gas, then impounding $300 billion in Russian international trade deposits held by U.S. banks, and finally, blocking Russia from access to SWIFT, the dominant international trading system. What began with the American policy of economically opposing Russia and their incursion into Ukraine was seen one way by Americans, but entirely the opposite by the rest of the world. Now, those who have assembled in St. Petersburg this week are bound and determined to knock the U.S. dollar off its pedestal as the world's reserve currency. And it's not likely that the Federal Reserve will be able to raise interest rates high enough to prevent that happening. And that's ValueSide for this Monday, June 12. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. I'm David Revelle. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.